If you want to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, you're entitled to. It's just one phrase that you probably all know. It says, "Thou shalt not steal." But you know, when we look at that, we've got to look at the right message here. In other words, I've called this the sanctity of possessions. If you and I do not get the proper aspect of the possessions that God, that we have, you will, let me put it, I'll back up a little. If you don't realize where everything comes from as far as things that we have to live by, and you don't realize it comes back to one truth and principle, that we're all made in the what? Image of God. So that means this command goes all the way back to what? God. The very image of God. And since it's the image of God, then His sovereignty, He's the one that has given us everything. And we have to get it right about possessions. And even God's given us a conscience. But as believers, that conscience must be driven as truth-driven, driven by God's the one that's given us the possession. Everything we have is God's. And the first moment we start thinking that this is mine, you're going to start stealing. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Because that's where we've got to understand where this principle goes from, comes from, the very image of God. And we've got to realize, and you'll see, that as we look at the truth, we'll see that as everything is of God, we need to realize, well, I think I'll probably repeat it again, but Adam and Eve. Was anything Adam's and Eve's? What does the Bible say? In fact, it says it in Genesis 2. He told Adam and Eve to what? Did he sell the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve? Sorry, nuh-uh. What did he tell them to do? Take care of it. So, example, possessions. And we'll get into this. I'm trying to give you a background, the importance of this possession. Okay? We have an auditorium here. We have a church building here that God has given the church. We know that the church building isn't the church. It's the called out assembly. It's the people. That's the church. Believers that are baptized, immersed, and carrying out the Great Commission. That's the people. That's the church. And God's given us in this dispensation buildings. Now, as He's given that, whose responsibility is it to be taken care of? That would be the people that are the called out ones, wouldn't it? And we praise the Lord how You've taken care of it through the years. We came in here and 20 years ago, and it was a wonderful taken care of, but there was just things that were let go, that were getting old, let's put it that way. And little bit by little bit, able to take care of some of the things. Not because that's what everyone's supposed to do. No, it's because we're to be wise, what? Stewards of the possessions that He's given to us. And we're going to see that this evening in our homes, in our attire. I mean, everything, whether you have it or don't have it, it's the same to everybody. You've got to take care of it. You've got to take care of that which God's given you. Yes, do you have little things? Do you have things that are given to you that you have for entertainment? Take care of them. We've got to realize that all the possessions comes from God. And he goes and he says, now thou shalt not steal. So let's look at that truth. As we think, we normally just think this is what stealing is, isn't it? A stick up, or we think robbery. Or we think of stealing. Or we think of identity theft. We're going to look at some of those things this evening. But let's first of all realize, as we look at the truth in Exodus 20, verse 15, thou shalt not steal. We're going to look this evening at its definition. We'll look at its deficiencies. And then we'll also look at its distinctives. A man by the name of Moeller, who's the president of, I believe, Southern Seminary there, and a pastor of the church there, wrote a book on the Ten Commandments, and he made this observation, this quote. He said, the covenantal context of this command, talking about not stealing, is addressed to the chosen nation of the people of the covenant. So who would that be? Chosen, when he says the people of the covenant, who would he be saying that to? Who's he talking about? Israel, because they were his chosen people, and that covenant is what? Who's involved in that covenant? Remember, there's got to be two people. God makes an agreement with them, a promise to them, so that Israel would be pleasing unto the Lord and would give an external testimony to the holiness of God. Have you ever realized that? By you not stealing is an external testimony of God giving you that the holiness of God, who has made his covenant with Israel. The Bible dignifies personal property and roots this dignity in the image of God. To steal from another is not merely to steal his possession. It is to assault another's dignity as human being who has the right to the toil of his hands, to the produce of her talent, to produce of her talents, and to the property that is rightfully theirs. You see, when you have this commandment, thou shalt not steal, it implies what? That you have what? Something for someone to steal. That you have property. So it implies God's given us all things that are yours while you're on this earth, and he wants you to take care of it. You're the steward of your body. You're the steward of everything that God's given you. So with this implies that those all you have possessions, but where we have to get the root of it is, it all comes from God. The unsaved world does not realize that. You have the privilege to know that, so you can thank him for it. This commandment recognizes that the Lord owns everything in heaven and earth, and only he can give it or take it away. Who do you think of when you read that? Who do you think of? What's one of the first people in the Bible you think of? Exactly, Job. And Job himself says what? God's given, God's taken. The Bible says in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everything is the Lord's, the fullness and all they dwell, everything is the Lord's. So let's look at the definition. With that in mind and getting the idea, do you have the idea about this possession thing? It's all the Lord's. He's given it to us. But it implies, since he's given it to us, there is possessions that we have are rightfully ours by agreements, by covenants, by agreements, whatever, that we're to take care of. And he says, don't you steal someone else's agreement. So by definition, we'll look at it this way. Definition of stealing is taking of anything that rightfully belongs to others. That's pretty simple, isn't it? We think of that. Or taking of something that we have no permission to have, no matter what it is or how valuable it is. Or really, I could add to that, or how invaluable it is. If it's not ours, it's not ours. It was given to someone else. And so we don't take it. That's stealing. Then, in the theological word book of the Old Testament, it takes this word steal and it says, the verb means to take that which belongs to another without his consent or knowledge. to take that which without his consent or knowledge. In other words, it restricts to the acts of theft done secretly. It condemns stealing, including burglary and kidnapping. In fact, in Bible times, thievery was regarded as the utmost disdain in Israel. Leviticus 19:11 and Jeremiah 2:26. So taking of anything that rightfully belongs to others. Taking of something that we have no permission to have, no matter what the value of it is. And then we realize the deficiencies of stealing. There's two things that we have that we think of, that stealing is a sin against God. When we think of the word stealing, thou shalt not steal. Sin against, number one, that as stealing is against God, that every theft is a failure to trust in God's provision. You see that? In other words, whenever we take something that doesn't belong to us, we deny that God has given us or is able to give everything we truly need. Therefore, keeping the eighth commandment is a practical exercise of faith in God's providence. God's going to provide. We don't steal from someone else so that we can have it. That's not wrong with appealing and asking, saying, I'm in great need for this or that. And let that be known. But that would only be from giving someone else, giving it to you. You don't go take it from them. Or you don't go and try to put a guilt trip on them. Stealing is a sin against God, for every theft is a failure to trust in his providence. Number two, it's a sin against God because every theft is also an assault on God's providence for others. Okay. God gave me this suit. It was provided for me. He didn't give it to you, so don't come and steal it. I know it wouldn't fit you, but still, I'm being facetious, but that's the whole idea. God's providence, he provides so much for you. And you don't need to take someone else's, because now you're assaulting God's very providence. In fact, with that idea, it's important to understand that this eighth commandment assumes something. It assumes ownership. If you can't steal someone else if they don't own it, if it's not theirs. God indicated that people have the right to own their own private property. The whole concept of stealing, as one man said, would fail to make any sense. Only sometimes that belongs to someone can be stolen from them. But the reason that anything belongs to anyone is because it comes from God, and we do not have the right to take for ourselves what God has given to others and provided for others. What the Bible means by ownership is not possessing things to use for our own purposes, but receiving things from God to use for his glory. So at the same time that we are forbidden to take things that don't belong to us, we are required to use what we have in ways that are pleasing to God. Okay, you don't take it from someone else, but that which you have, you need to use for God. Otherwise, you are, we're going to get to it, stealing from who then? Yeah, I think we could lean to, well, God's given it to us, and we're, if nothing else, we're sure displeasing him. You see, with ownership comes responsibility, and respect for ownership is a responsibility in itself. With ownership comes responsibility, but respect for ownership is a responsibility in itself. You see, a steward is someone who cares for someone else's property. He is not free to use it however he pleases, but only to manage it in accordance with his master's intention. When a steward would go away, a man would go away, he was in charge of everything, and he was to use it in what the master's intention was. And when he comes back, God's in glory, he's given us certain things, we're stewards of whatever he has. Your automobile, your clothes, your food, what you eat, your house, the abilities. And so we've got to realize that it's a sacred trust to look after it. For God said to Adam in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So just as Adam, we are called to be stewards. God's stewardship means taking care of what we've been given, not letting things fall into disrepair. It means not being wasteful. Listen to what Jerry Bridges said. I probably should have put this on a slide, but Jerry Bridges said this about there's three attitudes that we can take towards possessions. Number one, what's yours is mine, I'll take it. That would be whose attitude? The thief's attitude. Number two, what's mine is mine, and I'll keep it. That's the attitude of most people, and that would be what kind of attitude? Selfish attitude. Number three, what's mine is God's, and I'll share it. What kind of attitude is that? It's a godly attitude. And so we've got to realize that stealing is a sin against God, and we need to realize that of possessions. Well, let's look at the distinctives. And stealing is taking something that does not belong to you without permission. And we must realize that as we think of that ownership, stealing threatens the social order and causes pain to others by undermining the ability to possess, as one commentary says, with sure access, things that are useful and needful. In other words, the food thief makes others go what? Hungry. Yeah. My wife has been a food thief. We didn't put everything in the thing, and I could have gone out and gotten things. But, you know, I've always said, there's nothing to be a cook. All you have to do is read directions. But there's something to be a good cook. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not a good cook. But I can read directions. I can grill. In fact, this afternoon I was going to grill myself some turkey burgers. I go and just put one burner on, then tried all the other things that wouldn't because it wasn't getting warm fast enough. So I ended up doing it inside. And, you know, the impatience was right there. I did, though. I waited for a half hour and it wasn't getting up or thinking anything. And it just got, so I'm going, okay, that's okay, I'll have to. And by the way, this is just because we're friends, and I'm an open book. The reason I wanted to grill, I didn't want to dirty a pan. Then I'd have to wash it. I'm not a, when my wife's away, I'm not a put things in the dishwasher. I can't, I when she's here, we clean things up, put them in dishwasher. When she's away, I wash right away. I can't stand having anything in the sink. I get it, I wash it. I'll leave it for the next meal that evening, but if it ain't, I wash it. It's clean. In fact, I could tell you, since she's been gone, I've used the same spoon, the same fork, the same knife. Now, I've washed it every day. I've washed it, but I've still used the same one. Only three utensils have been used since she's been gone, as far as eating. And it's there. I wash it and do it. That was free again. We've got to realize that the food thief makes others go hungry. Oh, that's where I got that from. Okay. Then there's the animal thief that interrupts farming. There's the kidnapper who tears apart family. There's the clothing thief that makes another suffer from the sun or cold. So we've got to realize that this is repeated again and again in the New Testament. So let's look at some distinctives. First of all, we're going to look at, in this distinctive, we're going to look at the stealing from man. We're going to look at some statistics and specifics. Then we're going to look at stealing from God. But first of all, let's look at the statistics. Now, when I give you these statistics, I've changed a few to try to make us update, but as I started looking through all this, I couldn't find the same things that this is probably a couple years old. I don't know as far as the actual statistics. So the statistics on this will be different for today, probably not exact. Some of them are, but most of them aren't. They're from a few years ago. But I believe what you'll, by the way, in some ways, crime and theft has gone down from 1 year to the next. But you'll get the idea through these statistics if we have a problem here in the United States about stealing or not. Follow along with me. Every day, 37 to 52,000 thefts, crimes are reported in America. Lou was part of that. That translates to more than 13 million theft cases reported each year. You wonder why our police are full? The total value of property taken amounts to over $13 billion. I believe I tried to make that up to date. Anyways, if it's I'm wrong, it's still in the billions like that. Cases where force is used in the act of stealing, which is called robbery, amount to a $500,000 a year and involve property value taken in the area of $500 million. When it comes to breaking into a house or business to steal, which is called burglary, there are 2 million reported cases each year, and the value of property taken is estimated at $3.5 million. To combine all those statistics together, we are taking over 13 million reported cases a year of people stealing property from somebody else at a cost of about $10 billion. I would say that that would help our debt, wouldn't you? The debt in America that we have. One estimate says that one out of every 52 shoppers carries something out of the supermarket for which they haven't paid. That means that in a, yes, even a church, and maybe it's not true in a church, people in a church, yeah, right, or whatever, but it's saying that out of every 50 people, 52 people, someone takes something out of it. According to the U.S. Department of Commerce, by the way, I just got convicted about something. Talking about supermarkets, I'll go into a supermarket and I'll take a grape and I'll eat it. See if they're good. See if I want to tell you if I want to buy them. And I'm starting to get to where if I do take when I take that, I'm taking it home with me. That's my wife will look at me. That's stealing. And I've got to look at it. And realize, okay, all right, Holy Spirit, speak to me. According to the U.S. Department of Commerce, 4 billion people are caught shoplifting every year. But for every one caught, 35 others get away with it, at least for now. This means that there are over 140 million incidents of shoplifting every year in America. What's really tragic is that only 10% of all shoplifters come from low-income backgrounds. 70% are middle class, and 20% are classified as wealthy. Again, these aren't up to date, but they were a few years ago. This is one new hotel reported that in their 10 months of operation, they lost 38,000 spoons, 18,000 towels, 350 silver coffee pots, 1,500 silver finger bowls, and 100 Bibles to thefts. This is one hotel. Do you think we have a problem? The fastest growing crime in the United States is identity theft. 5 years ago, it was estimated that 700,000 to 1.1 million people became victims of this crime annually. The cases represented a loss of $12 billion. That figure has now risen by 10 times. Identity theft statistics now show that one in four U.S. households have been a victim of identity theft in the past 5 years. Now, again, this is older, so it's not right up to date here, but these were facts the last time that when I did the study and put this on the PowerPoint. Beyond the money that is stolen and the credit record that is damaged through identity theft, on average, victims spend 175 plus hours and $1,000 in out-of-pocket expenses to clear their names. Just recently, my son, something happened, and he just called me this week. It was Aaron, and he called me that he got it all clear, and his credit rating's back up because something happened, and the theft are different things. So we've got to realize that true. Well, as we look at those statistics, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce estimates that 75% of all employees steal at least once, and that half of these steal again and again. By the way, what they're talking about here is actually stealing, employee stealing. I wonder what that percentage would be if we talk about stealing time. It might be closer to the 90s. Who knows if this is 75? Because 95% of all companies are victims of theft, and yet only 10% ever discover it. No wonder that 30% of all businesses' failures are caused by employee theft. Businesses lose 20% of every dollar to employee theft. Workplace theft costs the employer an average of $18,500 annually, about $1,500 per month. Workplace theft tops out at more than $120 billion annually. Now, here's specifics. There's kidnapping. You think of that as stealing? You are. You're stealing. There's negligence of other things. There's carelessness of others' things. In other words, when I look back at that negligence or careless, are there times where you are taking care of something for somebody and you're negligent or careless about it? It's someone else's property, so you need to treat it as what? Your property. False balances. Deliberate shortages. In other words, driving up prices. Or depreciation, driving down prices. So as you think of specifics, look at it this way. It's this. Theft comes from identity theft, employee theft, shoplifting, cheating on your taxes, your auto, your debts, burglaries, robbery, intelligent property. What does that mean? That'd be like making copies of copyrighted material and distributing copies of such. You make copies of it and give it to others. File sharing on the internet, downloading music when you don't have the permission to do that. Plagiarism. You. There's different laws specific of plagiarism when you're writing. I know of a commentary, the Pillar New Testament commentary, which is a really excellent commentary. One of the writers, which is one that's recommended by people, this writer in it, they had to take it off and rewrite it, and have someone else take same thing because he said he plagiarized. Now, he would have plagiarized truth and different things, but he didn't give the right credit for it, I guess. You'll hear me all the time when I'm quoting some, reading something, I'll say, one man said this, a commentary said this. I just want to make sure that, and if you ever come to me, I can go right to it and say, well, this is where it was. Because I've got it all on my things. I have everything that I would tell you as far as by quotes. I have much others on there. And so I take it and then I put it in my own language. No, word, that's not plagiarism. But word for word is. And not giving credit for certain things that way, that all comes that way. Example, this evening, I told you an attitude of possessions. And if I just told you that attitude, I wanted to, some wouldn't need to. But if you came to me, I'd tell you, okay, it came from someone else. I don't want you to think I'm that smart. But I told you this evening it was from Jerry Bridges. And that's the idea of keeping from being plagiarized, the words. It's not my words. And when it says words, it's exact and quotes that way. So we've got to realize that there are different specifics, that we got to be careful and make sure we do things. That's why, for instance, the church has a thing with CLII, I think it is, or whatever it's called. And I tell my wife that at the beginning of them, at least on the bottom, you need to put that our number on there so people know that we are doing what is right. And it might not be on every slide, but it might be at the beginning of that song so you know that it is. But we need to do that. And may I say, as we leave and stuff and you're using the PowerPoint, make sure you do that. We pay for it. In fact, I just saw a thing that I forwarded to, I don't know if I forwarded it to you, Doris, but I forwarded also to my wife or something, where we pay for it and they actually do the slides or the songs for you. And but I don't know if they would do the ones that we do here, but I'm just saying that there are many of them. And so, in fact, that's why on our online Facebook only stays on there for so many, I don't know what it is, 30 days or whatever, then it goes off. Now, that's because, did you know all the music is not supposed to be recorded unless you have the rights to it, CCL or something like that, even though we're not trying to sell it or anything. In fact, just a recording, when we would do just the recordings, the CDs, whatever those are, I would tell you cannot do the special music on it. It's just the message. The message you can put on it, because otherwise you have to go through all the rights and everything like that. You just got to be careful. Sometimes it's okay to do certain things. You just got to be careful. That's why even putting these words up, that's why we're saying when we put words up for the songs, we've got to make sure that it's done right. There's some things where I don't know. There's been times in the past where I've known certain someone, I say, may I use this of yours? I'm going to use it specifically as a song or something like that. So we just got to be careful. All of that is part of stealing man. And we've got to be careful. But then there's stealing from God. There's the tithe, time, talent, and truth. Stealing from God and the tithe, Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, because you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And what's the Lord say? In tithes and offerings. Oh, I haven't robbed you, Lord. No, you haven't given me what's rightfully mine. It's all mine anyways, and I've asked for a tithe. The first fruits, the Bible says in Proverbs 3:9. Not only a tithe, but he says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. That means you do it what? First. Not after everything else is, oh, I do have enough money, I can give them. You give the first fruits. And then there's grace giving. 2 Corinthians 8:7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also, the grace of giving. Now, we're not going to go into all these. It's not our purpose to go into tithing or into the giving and our grace giving. But there's the principle set down. If you, to steal from God is when you don't give God what he wants you to give outside that, out of what he's already given you. You're giving it back to him. And he wants you to keep the things. That's why he's giving it to you, so you can live. But he wants to see those first fruits and that grace come out of your heart. And Mark Minnick said this, we give to God to show our faith that everything we have belongs to him. Then stealing from God's time. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Psalm 121:8. To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You can't steal God's time. God's given you that job. Don't steal from that that employee's time. You put the time in that is supposed to be put in, and don't cheat the time. I mean, I remember when I was worked for the Myers, and I worked for Myers before I came here, and the chief of the store director said to me, he said, "Mark, because the managers were 10-hour shifts, we have 10 hours that we were to do, and I would get all the different things done. He says, if you have things done, you can go. You don't have to be there. But you got to make sure the things are done." Well, for the first 2 months that I was there, I think I averaged well over 12 hours. Because I was trying to put things into order to where it was, different things. And then, boy, once I got that, then it was an easy 10 hours. In fact, there's a couple days I only put 6 hours in. I wasn't stealing from that because I was on a contract. It wasn't a punch thing, but I was on salary, but it was okayed by who? The one that runs the show. And so we've got to realize that time in all every area of time, our time with God, you need to have time with God. Don't steal that. Everything is God's. Our time is in His hands. So really we need to realize the fun that we have in different entertainments or whatever, that's His time. So let's rejoice in it. Our talents. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be the praise and dominion forever and ever. But unto every one of us given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." God's given us gifts. Don't steal the talents and be useful, not useless. God's given you talents. By you not using the gifts, the talents that God's given you to His ministry, to serve Him, you're stealing from God. "Well, I just don't feel comfortable." God's given you an ability. Do it for God. And then there's truth. "Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord." Who's He against? "Those that steal my words, every one from his neighbor." Jeremiah gives us a succession. The main characteristic of the teaching of the false prophets. The first is they steal God's words from one another. Having no message from God, they try to imitate the true prophets. Albert Barnes' commentary. Their words were not original, but stolen from others. In other words, they're trying to think, and it wasn't original, this is from God. You joker. So, in conclusion, as God's new covenant people, Moeller said, as God's new covenant people in Christ, we must view our wealth not so much as a sign of divine favor, but as a sign of incredible responsibility. It is not enough that we not steal. We must put all that we are and all that we have at the disposal of God, understanding that He ultimately owns all. Exodus 19:5. We ultimately must be willing to give all, and as Jesus said so pointedly, to lose all for the sake of the kingdom. It's all God's. So don't steal. Thou shalt not steal. The possessions He's given you are all His, and He wants you to be a steward of it. So be a wise steward. Don't steal from God or from man. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the time we've had together, and that we might go from here practicing what the truth is that You've given us this evening, because we're Yours.